This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful day in Texas.
It is a beautiful day. We're coming up on spring break next week, and so, you know, we're into spring break, and that means that it's almost time for the permanent warm weather. You know, we've had a couple of warm days, and then it's going to be a little bit cooler, and then a little bit warmer, and so it seems like the warmer days are getting more in number than the cool days, which is good.
I think that's a good thing. Now, one thing about spring break. I was thinking about doing something with my little grandchildren, you know, and someone said, well, why don't you go to Padre Island? And I started laughing. I said, do you know what's happening at Padre Island for spring break? We've got kids down there with their clothes off.
Not a good place for the grandchildren, I suppose.
No, not a good place. I said, those teenagers are down there drinking and cavorting on the beach.
They're acting like hoodlums is what they're doing.
I know, and you know, they've been run out of a lot of those places down there over the years.
Oh, wow.
Because they're just so terrible, you know. they go there to do things they know they should not be doing.
That's why they go there, because they have very little adult supervision, and they can do things they're not supposed to do.
That's exactly right. And I would hate to think about the hotel. You know, you've got six kids staying in a small bedroom.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're trashing that son of a gun.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a long cleanup when it's all over with.
It will be a long cleanup. The beach will be a long disaster, too.
Yes. Yes.
But anyway.
Oh, from what they say, spring break does tend to generate an awful lot of income for whatever town it happens to be in.
It is a lot of money. Remember, these kids are all got money. It's not like a horse and buggy deal. This is kids that have far more money than a lot of people make.
Yeah, they have more money than they do sense.
That's exactly right. And they have their little vets down there, their little BMWs. You know, I mean, this is a rich kid's holiday.
It's a rich kid's holiday. you know, I suppose you're right. I never thought about it like that, but I guess you're probably right.
I think I am right. Oh, my gosh. Well, let's give out the phone number.
Yeah, what is your number?
The phone number is 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And this is Your Money with Fay Bagby. It's all about growing your money so you can retire happy, wealthy, and early. And we tend to focus on retirement an awful lot, which is very, very important because it takes a lot of planning. You have to have a lot of money. You have to grow your money. You have to be ready to do the things that you want to do. Whether you do them or not is not relevant. You may change your plans. You may come up with new ideas. You may have different things you want to go, places you want to see, whatever the case may be. But you have to have the money there in order to have the options. And so a lot of times people think, well, you know, I can't get past today. I can't get past tomorrow. I can't think 20 years ahead. I'll worry about that some other time. And you always say that procrastination is the biggest issue when it comes to planning for retirement. And people think, oh, it's so far off. But before they know it, it's like all of a sudden somebody is 50 or 52 and they're thinking, you know, oh, geez, retirement is not so far off. It's in 10 years. I want to retire when I'm 62 or 65 or whatever the case may be. So what happens when people call you and they're in their early 50s and they realize, hey, retirement really is now right around the corner. I better get serious. What are they saying?
They're saying, you know, they realize all of a sudden they need their investments to be solid. They need to go a different direction, and that's what they really do. They say, Faye, this is what we want to accomplish, that we want to have this much money when we retire. And the only way to get it is to get sensible. We don't want them to stop enjoying all the things they enjoy now, because that's not going to happen. But we want them to be conservative enough that in 10 years they're going to have enough money to say we're ready, we can retire, and not even think about it. Just walk out the door, leave your job, and start enjoying life.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it, it's not going to be that much fun.
No, it's
not. If you don't say, you know, we need to do this and we need to do it now, and start saving for the future. And I would never have everything in the stock market. Now, it's really funny. A client said the other day his investment advisor told him he should have all of his money in one account. Do you like that?
Whoa. That's different.
That's different and scary.
Yeah.
You know? Different and scary at the same time. So, you know, my thoughts are always be diversified, be diversified. People with us, I want them to have a lot of policies, not just one, because we know some of them are going to go over. But even the ones that go over start coming due, and, you know, it works. If it didn't work, I would tell somebody, well, no, this isn't going to work. But it does work. You just have to work the system like it's planned out. You have to have a lot of policies, four or five at least, where the, you know, some will go over, some will come in early. And speaking of that, we had four policies come due this week.
Really? Four?
And I want to talk about them because it's really, really interesting. The Morford policy came due. He had two policies. He had $1 million and $1,750,000. This was a 30-month policy, and it matured in 6.4 months.
Whoa! That's
fast. He had cancer of the esophagus. It had spread to the lymph nodes and his lungs. So it came due in 6.4 months instead of 30 months. The other one was Mr. Mills. The Mills policy was 10 months. It went over. It went to 22 months. But he had colorectal cancer, and that came due this week. And then Bryant. This was a lady. She had a 30-month policy. We just finished it up. She lived 2.5 months.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's fast.
It was really fast. She had a stage 4. It was metastasized to the skull and the spine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, this cancer, a lot of them are coming in really, really early. And I was really shocked. 2.5 months. I mean, we just got the papers signed and got them to all the clients.
Wow.
Just got it done.
That's incredible.
So anyway, a lot of people are going to get paid. Two more policies, and I can't tell you the name. I forgot the name. We just got the check, and it's being sent to the bank today. So the bank next week will report next week that money's in everybody's account. I've got about 10 policies right now in some stage of being paid out that they've matured, and we're waiting for different things to get that to the carrier and get them paid. The Rubin policy, we've been having trouble getting it from the state of Pennsylvania. I've never had this happen. The lady, after her husband died, is supposed to give us the certified death certificate. She wouldn't do it.
What? You know, why?
I don't know why. She just, I guess she's mad because she sold the policy and we got paid. That's the only thing I can figure out. Anyway, we've had to find to get that done.
Wow.
Yeah, so we should have that next week also, and that's a big policy. And everybody's wondering why they hadn't got paid. That's exactly why, because we were waiting on the state of Pennsylvania.
Wow. I mean, Lena, they don't really have a leg to stand on here, do they?
No, they don't. Once you sell us the policy, you've got 15 days in most states, 30 in some. To renege on it and to get it back and for you to get the money, but not when it's been that long. Because if you remember, Reuben, you know, had went over, so there's no way that lady could get the money.
Wow.
So if she's just being naughty, you know. I mean, sometimes You know, she got the money. Lady, you spent the money, you know? And I guess she has bad feelings because she sold it and got paid and like to do it again, you know?
Yeah.
She'd like to have that money again. That isn't going to happen.
Well, you said it's a big policy, right?
Yes, it is.
See, now, that's the thing that always, I think we see this, not necessarily with this direct thing, but just in life in general, anytime there's a big policy or there's a big amount of money that's going to be paid out, people tend to come out of the woodworks. They try to, you know, they try to claim things they shouldn't claim, or, you know, they try to, you know, get a last minute, some kind of a hand in the pot to get at least some of it, if not all of it. And so things tend to get tied up with, you know, we see this a lot of times with wills, you know, when somebody doesn't have a will, you know, somebody will come out of the woodwork and they'll protest something or things like that. And so, yeah, I guess that's one of the things with a large policy. People see large dollar amounts and they want to do something to try to get in on it. Although, I mean, there's nothing this lady can do, but still, I mean, the behavior is pretty, it's pretty stereotypical, I guess.
Yes, it is. And so, you know, once in a while people act like that and it delays things for my clients, which is not fair. And so we've had to take evasive action, and we should have the Rubin death certificate this next week and get it to the carrier and get everybody paid. And I apologize for it going over because we were waiting on a widow to do the right thing, and she didn't do the right thing.
Yeah.
She didn't care.
It's certainly not your fault. You're fighting. You're doing the things that you need to do, and it sounds like you're making some progress, and things will you know, get back on track here this coming week. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, and so anyway, I wanted to talk about those that came due. I just couldn't believe, you know, we had two 30-month policies come in that early. I mean, that's extraordinary. 6 months, and one came due in 2.5 months.
You know, is that ever a concern? Since you brought it up, we don't really cover a whole lot of this, so I'm kind of shooting in the dark here with these questions. But what happens? Is that a concern for a lot of people when they get into a life settlement type of situation? Is it a concern that, you know, hey, the company may not pay out, or somebody may fight it, or something like that? And if that happens, what do you do? I mean, I know all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, and so the everything is taken care of properly. It's just you may have to do a little extra work to get it actually.
Yeah, we did
finalized.
On this, and that's the first time we've ever had that happen. Where that, you know, usually it's 6 to 8 weeks, mm-hmm. and we usually don't have any problem. You know, the family usually cooperates. They'll send us the. In fact, on one of these that died this week, the family called themselves.
Really?
And were nice enough to do it. Yes. Usually the family will call and say the person passed away. Usually they're very, very nice. It's the first time we've had a widow do that, you know, and just not send the death certificate. No, the families usually always cooperate. They usually are helpful. And we wouldn't even know they had died that quick. Usually it would have been another week before we'd known they died. But they were nice enough to call us and tell us that this lady passed away.
Well, that is so great. That's really yeah. nice of them, really upstanding of them to do.
Yes, usually the family cooperates. They're very nice. The heirs usually always correspond with us. And this is the first time I'd had a widow that just ignored us, said, I'm not going to do anything to help. I mean, you know, that's pretty bad.
Well, yeah, and, it is. So, but at least it's not a main concern or anything that people really need to even worry about.
No, it's not anything. I just wanted them to know that next week we'll be getting that to the carrier. That's all I was telling the story for.
Good.
Is that we'll be getting that over to the carrier and getting them paid.
Well, I'll be honest with you. This past week, and I'm sure you heard the story, the news about Alex Trebek. With his
yes.
stage 4 pancreatic cancer diagnosis. And I tell you, the first thing I thought of is, ooh, that's probably not good. And it goes back to our conversations about how stage 4 cancer is so so traumatic for many people, and how the diagnosis is generally not good with stage 4, obviously. But with pancreatic cancer, you always talk about how that is one of the deadliest cancers there is. And so
well,
that's
and,
really
and
the first thing
week,
I thought of.
We're putting everybody in a policy, by the way, of pancreatic cancer, and it was inoperable.
Really?
Now, that, you know, if it's inoperable, it will come in a lot sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I filled that policy up this week. took about 10 minutes because everybody likes pancreatic cancer because they know, like you say, that it's fast. There's not any comebacks on a stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and especially that second LE that said it was inoperable. Yeah, and if it's inoperable, I don't know if they'll make it to 9 months. I really don't.
Yeah, it seems to be like that's what the research says. Is, you know, it's so deadly, and a lot of times it's so aggressive too. There's a couple other cancers that you look at as well when certain diagnoses come over your desk. You really are attracted to that. Pancreatic cancer is not the only one. There's also brain cancer
and breast cancer. I'm gonna tell you something. We have had in the last 2 months. We've had 3 breast cancer deaths.
Wow.
And again, it's not doing traditional treatment, which is so bad, and I know that. But different hospitals have different treatments for chemo that's not as bad as the other ones.
Really?
And if you go to a great big hospital, you know, they do it different, and it's not as bad. But women want alternate treatment. They just don't want their breasts cut on. They don't want them removed. And that's what kills them.
Mm-hmm.
They go to alternate treatment, and yes, it's easy on the body, but it will kill you. I mean, it's a painful fact, you know?
You know, and we hear these things all the time about how sometimes even the treatment itself is worse than the disease. And so I think when we're looking at the big scope of this type of investment, that's what really, I think, becomes so attractive to investors and attractive to people looking for more conservative ways than, say, the stock market to grow their money, because we all know how deadly stage 4 cancer is. We all know that, yes, the odds of somebody beating stage 4 cancer are so minute. It makes it really one of the most conservative investments possible. And when it comes down to it, there's a number of different stages. There's a number of different types of cancers. There's a number of different scenarios why people would try to sell their life insurance policy. But the reason that you're so successful with your clients is because you're only bidding on and buying policies of people that are diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
Yes, that is really called end of life. Stage 4 is called end of life because usually you cannot make a comeback from a stage 4. You might make a comeback if it's stage 1, 2, or even 3, if you catch it early enough. But most of the ones we do, they don't find out until it's too late. Now, Alex Trebek is saying he's going to beat it. And I don't know how in the world he could, but at least he has a positive attitude.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, once you've been diagnosed with stage 4, the treatment is usually going to make you comfortable. It's going to delay it. It's going to make you live a little longer, but that's about it.
Yeah, it's aggressive. It's painful treatment, but in the end, it's still, I mean, stage 4, the numbers are just there. They support the fact that, you know, like you say, this is end of life in most cases. And I know that there's a number of studies, and I know they're making progress with you know, cancer research and treatments and things like that. And obviously, as human beings, we want people to be able to survive and beat cancer. However, the odds of that happening, or at least the prognosis to beat stage 4 cancer is so many years down the road. They are making progress, which is great because we're all humans. We want people to survive it. But in reality, when somebody is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, they know what's ahead, or at least they've heard the stories, whether they've been through it personally or not, or seen somebody or read about something or whatever the case may be. They're at least aware that it's going to be a long, difficult fight, and it's also very expensive. And so that's how you end up with these policies of people with stage 4 cancer, is they oftentimes need to find a fast way to come up with a large sum of money so they can begin the fight, because it is so expensive.
It is very, very expensive. And I read this week about people that went into bankruptcy. They actually went bankrupt because of the way their claim was handled. They had group insurance, and it didn't save them. The doctors messed it up so bad at the hospitals that that they owed thousands and thousands more than they had anticipated. They ended up going bankrupt.
Wow.
The people were trying to take care of her father. Then the lady got cancer, and she thought, well, at least I have group insurance. Well, there was a big deductible, and then it was, oh, that's not covered, that's not covered. Oh, you didn't send the bill in on time. So much happens to them once they've been diagnosed with stage four. You know, they can be bankrupt before they know it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's so many things that can happen. And so when you're bidding on these policies and you're looking at them and you're saying, okay, I want to bid on this one. Now, keep in mind, even if you bypass a policy, there is a number of other companies that will buy random policies. Other companies will buy, you know, stage four, stage three, or somebody who's not sick. Maybe they're just elderly and they want to travel the world. And that's fine. There's a number of other companies that do that. But you're very, very focused on stage four cancer. And even if we narrow it down even further, you look at these policies, you don't just say, okay, this is stage four cancer, we'll bid on it. No, you go even deeper. I mean, you go several layers deep when you're looking at, even considering whether or not to bid on these policies, because you want to come off with the best policies for your investors. You want to make them the most money. You want to get them the most money as fast as possible. And so you're looking at lots of hidden things in these reports that not a lot of people will take on surface level. You're looking at treatments they've had, treatments they've not had. You're looking at, you know, other things like medication. What types of things are you specifically looking at?
Well, of course, first of all, I look to see if it's progressing, if it's metastasized. If it's metastasized, they're not going to make it. I'm looking to see if they're obese. I'm seeing how bad the pain is. And they will tell us the pain is between usually a 5 to a 10. If it's a 5 and close to a 10, the pain is so severe, I know how bad it is, you know. But we have to look at all that to see where they're really at. If it says no progression, I'm not interested. If it says remission, I'm not interested. You know, it has to be full-blown, and we know that they really need help. And if it says all those things, yes, we're bidding on it, and we're going to try to buy it.
And there's a number of policies that you just bypass. You say, no, this is not right, and you skip them. So I think people can take a lot of comfort in knowing that you pay an incredible amount of detail, attention to, you know, all this detail, that that they can feel assured that, yeah, this is a good, solid investment. And if you do bid on it and you are awarded with it, that it is safe for people to get into. And I think maybe the first one or two, they maybe get a little leery because they don't really understand the process. But those that have been with you for a couple of policies or even a couple of years or even more than that, because I know you have a number of policy investors who've been with you for years and years and years and have made a ton of money by doing this. You know, they just know that, hey, if you send an email and says, hey, I got this policy, it doesn't matter what they're doing. They don't need to take more than 5 seconds to look at this and say, OK, yeah, I'm in. So, you know, people know that it's a conservative type of investment. And they also know that they don't have to do a lot of, it doesn't take a lot of time. I mean, people are not up at midnight wondering if their portfolio is you know, gone through the floor, if they have nothing left. They just know that this is a safe, solid investment. They know that it's going to grow. But the point of all this is to do this over time. It's not just a one and done type of thing. You don't invest in one policy and all of a sudden somebody has enough money to retire. You put people on a whole strategy, and I think sometimes that gets lost in the fact that, yes, this is an investment, but it's an investment that people do over time. And so you put people in a number of policies, and that really is how the whole thing works.
That's exactly right. And you know, all the policies that we do, when one comes matures, they're calling me, when can you get me in another policy, when will my money be reinvested? And we do it as quickly as we can, because we know it's important to them and to continue to make money. And, you know, we've had so many come due lately. We're trying to get, again, it's the second deal. We're going back again and putting them in new policies that are as good as the ones they already had.
Mm-hmm. And you say what? People on average are in anywhere from, would you say, like 3 to 5 at one time?
Yes. I think most people are in 3 to 5. I've got some that have got more. But you have to be diversified even in this. You can't have just one policy. It doesn't work. That one policy might go over, and you might sit there for an extra 2 years. So you don't want that to happen. You want them to come quickly as you can. If they go over, you've got to have some that are not over and that are coming due at all times.
And that's really kind of one of the risks is and I know with this type of investment, there are three risks. Now, before we get into these, I think people who haven't heard this before and they, you know, maybe, you know, hearing this for the first time and trying to grasp the concept for the first time, they've been maybe been in Wall Street for years and years. They know that it's risky. They know that, you know, things can go up and down. There's a lot of risk involved. You know, anything can affect their entire portfolio. They could have nothing tomorrow. They know that. And so I think that's why people have a little bit of trouble maybe at first understanding, yes, there are three risks, but when you compare these three risks and you compare them to other types of conventional investments, I think they quickly realize, well, these risks really are even though there's three, they're relatively small. And a policy going over, you know, like you were saying, you may have to pay premiums and things like that. That is one of the risks. But when we're talking about, you know, money you may have to pay for a premium, we're talking about a very, very small percentage of the actual profit.
That's exactly right, because most of the ones I've done in the last 3 to 4 years, I've made sure those premiums are low, because it's really, really important. We want low premiums, whether if it does go over, it won't hurt you. It won't hurt your bottom line on your profit. So, you know, we're always thinking about that. Every time I look at a policy, I say, what are the premiums? And I had to turn one down last week. It was a great policy, but the premiums were high, and we can't do it. The numbers don't work if the premiums are high. Mm-hmm. We want those premiums to be low where it will not hurt our clients if it does go over.
Okay. So aside from premiums, what's the next big
risk? The other risk is it's not liquid during that time. Remember, it is not liquid because it is in a life insurance policy. You've invested in a life insurance policy. So it does not become liquid till it matures each time. Now, each time it matures, if you need to take some money out, you can do it. That reminds me, this week, we had a customer, his account was hacked.
What?
Yes. And we get this email, and it says, I would like for you to take this much cash out of my account and send it to my account in Mexico. And I go, are you sure that's him? I said, that doesn't sound right. And Claudia at the Midland office said, well, I just got it from him. He says he needs that money. And here is the bank account and the routing number in Mexico. I said, I just don't think it's him. I think there's something wrong. So anyway, we finally get an email from the client. And he said, I've been trying to reach y'all all week. I can't reach y'all. His account was hacked, everything about him. And these people were pretending to be him.
Wow.
And sent us an email trying to get us to send money to Mexico to a bank.
So what happened? I mean, I assume you know him and you didn't do that.
We did not do it. When these people sent this, you know, trying to make us believe it was him, we said, we can't do that. You'll have to call the bank direct because, the bank has to verify it. And we told them that. And, it's just one of those things. The crooks had got it and was trying to get his money. I just couldn't believe it when I found out.
You know, I'll tell you what, there is nothing better than having human eyes on every single on every single account, you know, and that's the wonderful thing is that you're on a first name basis with so many of your clients and you know them, you know their habits, you know their names, you know their, you know, where they have accounts. You have all this information. So it's not like just some random, you know, anonymous person that you don't know. You know enough to that red flags went up and you're like, that doesn't sound like them. Whereas like some huge company in Switzerland, say, may not know all of their clients because they have so many, it's too many to handle. They don't know them on a first name basis. They don't know them personally. That's the wonderful thing about what you do is that you do know your clients. You do know when something is you know, off kilter or, you know, some behavior is not typical. You know that.
Yeah, I knew it did not sound like him. And, of course, you have to verify voice also. And so, thank goodness, you know, we were on top of it. and none of his money went anywhere.
Wow, how cool. That's good to know. That's something that we don't talk about very much, but boy, that's so good to know. Okay, so as far as risks go, premiums, they have to pay premiums, and the policy is not liquid. What's that third risk?
The third risk is if a life insurance company ever in our country went under. We haven't had a life insurance company go under for, I can't even remember how many years. And if somebody gets in trouble, someone always buys them because of that premium income. We've talked about that before. Premium income is the heart of a life insurance company. Mm-hmm. That's what makes them worth so much money. It's not the real estate they own. It's not the office building they own. It's that premium income, which can be $150 million a year.
Holy
or
smokes.
More. Yeah, it can be $150 million a year.
Wow. So that's good to know. So it almost sounds like with each of these risks, there is already at least one, if not two, safety measures even involved with the risks, but the risks themselves are so small compared to other investment opportunities. It seems like, you know, I would imagine once people come over and go through the entire, you know, they go through the funnel, they get through one policy, and then maybe they go to another, and they've been through the process in full a couple of times. I would imagine they probably say, "Hey, why didn't I do this earlier? What was wrong with me?"
People ask me that all the time. And, of course, a lot of our new people were in these new these policies that came due this week. This is what's funny. They're going to think all of them come due that quick, you know, 2.5 months, because they just got in it, and they're new, and they've already come due, you know?
Yeah. But this is it's not that type of thing. I mean, yeah, some come in early, some come in a little bit late. But the point is that this is a strategy that happens over time, where people can grow their money. It's not you're in, you're out, and all of a sudden you retire. It's not like that at all. And so, but boy, that's a great way to start the whole process, though. Is, you know, because what that means is that, yeah, coming in, you know, in your first investment, it comes in really early like that. You know, within 2 or 3 months, you're already into a second policy, which means they grew their money fast, they put it in another policy, and now they're just growing their money more and faster.
That's right. And so, you know, if we can do this day after day, it always works out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It always works out because averages will catch up with you.
Exactly. And so, but I mean, you've got the numbers there. You've been doing this for so many years. You know, the numbers just work out. The averages are there. There's really no downside whatsoever with this. You've been tracking the metrics for years and years and years, and you see every single time, you know, without fail, that, you know, if you do this for 7 years, 10 years, or 15, or however many years somebody is actually involved with this, they will see also that, hey, yeah, when it comes right down to it, I came out on the plus side big time. This worked out well. I made a lot of money. The anxiety was down. The risks are down, and it's just a win-win for everybody, and that's the whole goal. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
So now every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia, and you always bring interesting, fun things to the table. So what's the topic this morning?
The topic today is it's spring.
Yay!
And when you have spring, you have flowers, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh, you're not going to believe the beautiful, beautiful places you can visit. There's a new place in Waxahachie, Texas. It's called Poston Gardens. They are going to have 1 million tulips.
1 million tulips? Where is this?
Up here at Waxahachie, Texas.
Wow.
They've planted 1 million tulips.
My goodness, that's impressive. And that's got to be beautiful.
Oh, my gosh, I've seen the pictures. I've seen everything. And next week, they will all be blooming. 1 million tulips in one place from Holland. They got all these things from Holland.
Wow.
Wow, I'm so impressed. And they're just gorgeous. And then there's two or three other places a person's got to visit. There is 7,000 azaleas on the Nacogdoches Trail. Everybody needs to go to East Texas. It is on the campus over there, and it's, oh, my gosh, it's the garden capital of Texas. They said they will have 7,000 azaleas in one garden.
That's incredible.
It's the largest azalea garden in our state.
Wow.
They said it will be the mother load of color.
Yeah, I bet it will be. My goodness. I'm trying to picture what 7,000 azaleas would look like, and I just I can see pictures, you know, because we've all seen pictures of them, and, you know, you may see a few here or there, or 20 or even 100, but 7,000, I can't wrap my brain about it. I can only imagine how pretty that's going to be.
It's an azalea trail. You go all through this, and it's just a beautiful trail. And it's on the campus of Stephen F. Austin University over there.
Wow.
It's so stunning. I was just thinking about all the flowers that are starting to bloom. And I said, you know, spring break would be a wonderful time for a person to go. And they all start blooming next week.
Yeah.
That's why it would be so great to go and look at all these fabulous, fabulous flowers.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine. And then we have the dogwood trails, and these are fabulous over in East Texas. This is at Palestine, so you can go to all three of these things, especially if you're over in Palestine. Nacogdoches over there, and the Texas Dogwood Trail is fabulous also, and they have beautiful scenic drives. They're going to have their stately homes open for people, and it will be a real Texas Southern experience over there.
Sounds beautiful.
And it's just something you don't have anywhere else in the world, you know?
Yeah.
And these azaleas and these tulips are going to be so fabulous. And then, of course, you can go to Tyler for the Tyler Rose Festival.
Ooh.
You know, Tyler has, that's where all the roses in Texas are grown. It's in Tyler, Texas.
Really? I did not know that.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Tyler is the rose capital of Texas. It's where all of them are grown. That's where all the festivals are held. When people want to see roses, they go to Tyler, Texas for all the rose festivals.
Wow.
Yes, it's a fabulous time. And, of course, you know, our Texas highways will have the Blue Bonnets coming out. Did you know the Blue Bonnets were named the official state flower in 1901?
That far back? I knew it was the official flower.
1901.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
It's a long time ago. And our state highways, you know, no other state has beautiful flowers along all the interstates like we do in Texas.
Oh, that's the truth right there. I've been to a lot of states. I've been all over the country, but that is the absolute truth right there.
And, of course, we love our flowers in Texas, and they started planting the Blue Bonnets on state highways years ago, and they've been there ever since. And, of course, you know, it's always been against the law to pull them and to pick those flowers. And I don't know now if it's still the law or if you can actually pick them now, but I know it used to. It was against the law to bother our state flowers along our highways.
I feel like I should have known that, but for some reason, I don't think I did.
Yes, and so we have beautiful Texas Blue Bonnets coming out. And as you know, we've got five kinds of blue bonnets in Texas, and each region has a different type of blue bonnet. They're not all the same. And that's what makes blue bonnets so wonderful, is each region has a different kind of blue bonnet that blooms at a little different time, and the color is a little bit different on all of them.
Nice to have that kind of variety.
It is. And, of course, my pick would be to go to see the Million Tulips from Holland.
Yeah. Tulips are my wife's favorite flower, and so every time springtime rolls around, she gets really excited because, you know, I always go to the store, and usually every time I go, I'll try to pick up a small little batch of tulips.
Right.
And so I'll take them home, and she'll put them in the little mason jar and then the vases and stuff like that. So this is something I got to take her to. She would just, like, probably explode seeing a million tulips.
If she saw these million tulips, she'd fall absolutely in love. I mean, they're so gorgeous. They're so pretty. And all this starts, all of our flowers start next week in Texas during a spring break. So a lot of people could go and look at them, and they will bloom for about a month. We've got about a month of really good blooms because they start the middle of March and go through April.
Yeah.
So, and Texas, now is the time to be out like you say, the highways and the byways looking at our flowers. And if your wife loves tulips, you've got to tell her about Waxahachie, Texas.
Yeah, this is a great time of year, even just to take road trips, you know, just to see, you know, what's blooming along the highway, and then go to these various destinations and see, you know, the collections of flowers that they have. This is just a wonderful time of year. And then, you know, don't forget, you know, Mother's Day is right around the corner in May, and so that's coming up. And this is all getting us all ramped up for springtime fun and festivals and all kinds of things like that. So this is great.
And as you know, in Texas, we've got something going on every month. We do not sit on our laurels. There's nothing sitting still in Texas.
Oh, no.
You know, there's festivals in every town in Texas going on almost monthly. There's always something. You know, as the rodeo closes, there'll be all these other big things going on, especially all through the summer. We'll have flowers blooming. We'll have so many things. So many different festivals that's just truly Texas. It's a one-of-a-kind state. There's nothing like Texas.
Now, that's the truth. And when you go to these different festivals, obviously you got all the different foods, and, you know, it's like all these different areas and regions of the state have different specialties. And, man, there's just so much culture, you know, in one state. It's you literally never have to leave to experience all this variety. It's wonderful.
Well, and you've got the Czech communities, which have their own type of food. You've got the Germans. Then we've got barbecue from one end of Texas to the other.
Yes.
And everybody swears they have the best barbecue in the world. And everybody strives for this. And it's just amazing to me that if anybody builds anything new, it's always going to be barbecue.
Yeah.
And because we're so crazy about it.
I think it's my personal goal, whether anybody wins or not, it's my personal goal to try and taste all of them and decide which one actually is the best.
Well, and so many of them are in the Hill Country, as you know, starting with like Fredericksburg, and you go all on those highways out there, not the main highways, you know that. They're on those small highways out there. It's where the best barbecue places in the world are. And that one that we talked about earlier in the year, they'll pack up the meat for you and put it in your cooler and send you home. But remember, they don't even take checks.
I know it.
That place has been in business so many years, they don't even take checks.
I know it. I mean, it's fascinating to me.
People go there, they'll, you know, order a whole cow. I mean, you know, you can get so many kinds of meat and take it home and put it in the deep freezer. It's ready to go. And then all the other places, you know, you can take these huge amounts of barbecue and potato salad home and beans, and you're set. You're set.
Well, now I got a hankering for barbecue now.
Okay. Well, I want to make everybody hungry because, you know, we all love food. Let's face it.
And if you love food, Texas is a place to be. And I don't care to drive five and a half, six, 7 hours away to find the best barbecue. I don't care. I'll do it, and I think a lot of other people will as well.
They will. I mean, you know, and I'm always hearing about a new place opening. I said, well, I don't know. We've got all the best ones. I don't know if those new ones are going to be as good. But we should try them all and decide which one has the best. But the ones that have been around for 20 or 50 years, you can bet, they're full all the time. You can't even hardly get in.
Yeah, and you're right. Those ones that are off the main highway in some little shack someplace, those are always the best. Always the best.
That's right. You don't want to go to some shiny, big, highfalutin place. You want to go to some little bitty place that is on the corner in some little town that they've been there for 30 years.
Yeah,
you know, and it's going to be delicious.
And if the owner is behind the counter, you know you're fixing to get a winner.
That's exactly right. You don't want to go to one where they just have all these managers. You want the real thing.
Yeah. Wow. That is...
And some of them have the father, the son, the mother in there working. All of them work those barbecue places.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Especially, you know, they have the generations of family members who have been going for, you know, two and three and four generations, and they've still got the original smoker that they got in, like, the early 1900s or even the 30s or the 40s. And, you know, it's you can tell the years of use that have been in there. Those are the best. If you see a smoker like that, you know you're in for a special treat. If you see a brand-new shiny smoker someplace, keep on going.
Well, and that's exactly right. All their stuff is old. It's been there forever, but it works. and they won't change. They don't want anything new because they know that their smokers work. They know how everything in their old stores work, and they're not about to let anyone touch it or try to make it new. They don't want anything new.
Yeah, no, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's been working for years and years and years. I don't blame them. And, you know, and it shows because people keep going. People keep knowing, you know, where's the best place to go. But, boy, you're right, though. I would love to make it my mission to try every single one of them. God knows how many thousands of barbecue places there are in Texas. But I really want to scope every single one of them out and I'd try them all.
Well, I think you should. I think you should make that your goal in life. Oh, my gosh.
There's nothing better than good old Texas barbecue, I'll tell you what.
That's right. And, I can't imagine a month without barbecue.
Oh, I can't.
Nobody could go that long. Nobody could go that long.
Well, now my mouth is watering, so thank you for that, Faye.
You're welcome. All right, I better give out the phone number.
Yes, please do.
Phone number is 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. And I know they've got all the stuff coming up for Mother's Day, for Easter, everything. It'll be just fabulous in there.
It is your favorite place in the whole world.
It is. Besides food, that's my favorite place.
You ought to have them open up a barbecue joint in the back.
That's exactly right. Hey, it wouldn't be bad. There's nothing wrong with that.
You'd never leave. You'd set up a cot in the back.
I would. I'd be right there. I wouldn't want to miss anything.
This is your money with Faye Bagby. This is not called Faye's money. This is not called your neighbor's money. This is not your mother's money. It's not your father's money. This is your money. And the whole point of this is to grow it. It's to get ready for retirement. And so you have somebody who is maybe been doing this for a little while. And I know as we get closer to retirement, we get older, we get more mature, we get more responsible, we get more conservative. So how would you say that somebody maybe in their 40s or maybe even 50s, maybe even 60s, what would you say to them to try and get a younger person started earlier? You know, because a lot of times you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, you want to go out and play, you want to go buy things, you want to travel, you want to go places, you want to spend that money faster than you can make it. So what would you say to somebody if they wanted to start getting their children involved with, growing, investing, saving, being responsible? How would you get them to get their kids to do the responsible thing earlier?
Well, I think they should be talking to their children about, you know, growing their money, not spending it all, setting a good example for them, and trying to get them involved in a program that will make them money, where that they will, later in life, they will have plenty of money to retire, and to retire early and happy and wealthy. You know, and I always say wealth is different for every person.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you that without money, it's not fun.
No.
So when we talk about money, it's to help you to get through this life where that you will enjoy. Where you retire, you don't even think about money. You should be able to retire and do whatever you want to do. It should be important to you that you say, okay, we're going to take a trip here. We're going to take a trip there. We're going to spend this money. And that it won't affect the bottom line. Because the people who don't do it, they can't even think about anything.
Exactly. You know, they want to go out and they want to have fun and they want to do this, they want to do that. They haven't given a second thought to even tomorrow, let alone, you know, 30, 40 years down the road. But I think one of the things that, and I don't know that we've ever really touched on this, one of the things that becomes appealing to many people, whether you're young or older or someplace in between, one of the things I think that most people strive for is to do is as little as possible, put as little effort forward as possible, and make the most money. And when you're investing in a life insurance policy, that's exactly what this is, because you have to do virtually nothing to make a whole bunch of money. Is that accurate?
I think it's exactly accurate. You know, you don't have to tend to it. It's not like a garden. You don't have to do all these things to it.
It's like maintenance free. You'll handle all the policies. You go through them. You scan them. You bid on them. You analyze them. When you get awarded to them, when they get awarded to you, you send out an email. You literally do all the legwork. All people have to do is check the box, yes, I want in, or no, I don't. And I don't know why anybody would say no, but that's literally all there is. The anxiety of being up at night wondering if your portfolio is still intact, it's gone. Because with a life insurance policy, it's not affected by anything that's going on, which is another unique aspect of a life settlement.
That's right. And that's the neat part, that it's not affected by war. It's not affected by Russia or China or North Korea. It doesn't matter what these talks are. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world. A life insurance policy is not subject to any of that. That's the nice part.
If the European markets crash tomorrow or Monday, then your policy is still intact. You still have that. Now there's a bunch of other things. You know, if you're in Wall Street, yeah, you probably have a problem. It could affect, you know, your employment. You know, maybe something happens overseas and, I don't know, something could happen and all of a sudden, you know, you're out of work or, you know, God knows what could happen. You know, the possibilities are endless. But with a life settlement, that value is still there no matter what. And that's got to be one of those things that it may take people a little bit of time to get used to, but I'm sure that once they realize it, they've got to be saying, golly, Faye, my nerves are so much more at ease now.
I think so, because the people that I talk to on a daily basis, they're always saying, Faye, I'm so glad I made this much money this year. You know, put me in another policy. And when I send them a message saying, your policy's matured, they're always so glad. They're always saying, great news, you know. So they're excited. Because it's working,
yeah,
and they can't always do this with something else. They may make money, but the next day it may go back down, and they've lost money. It's not money until they can take it out. Remember that
exactly. Once you and it's just theory until you actually have it in your hand, and that can come and go, you know, with the wind. And so people look at this life settlement and they say, "Wow, this is really great, Faye. I can do this, and I can get ready for retirement." Because people start to think about how much they have in order to get to that place where they retire. You have to, one, make sure that your house is paid off. You got to make sure that your car is paid off. You don't want to have any debt. You don't want to have credit card debt piling up. All these things need to be taken care of. And on the road to retirement, when people are getting ready, these types of investments that are more conservative let you make that money to get those things paid off in case they're not. And a lot of people do that, I would assume, right?
That's exactly right. And if everybody's doing, if they're tracking like they should be, they're saying, okay, my house, I need to get it paid for, and they do. Our cars are paid for. Then the only things they have is monthly expense, like insurance on their house, the taxes, you know, utility bills, just normal things. And they're in great shape. But the people that say, no, I'm going to refinance my house because I've got too great credit card debt, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they shouldn't be having to live that way.
No.
Things should be working better out for them.
And so people need to get prepared. And so, yes, you may be making a ton of money right now because, you know, the economy is great here in West Texas. People are getting bonuses. They're getting great wages. You know, things are really happening so that people can make a lot of money. This is the time to take that extra money, apply it to these things, pay these things down, pay them off. Also, with a life settlement, it provides a little bit of that "quote unquote" extra money, and it comes. You know, when a policy matures, it comes in a chunk. So, you know, if you're looking for, a way to invest in something, and then, you know, when it finally matures, take that check and then put it, you know, towards, you know, maybe put some of it towards another investment, another policy. Take some of it towards, you know, pay off a credit card, pay off an auto loan, or whatever the case may be. You can do this fairly quickly if people are set up right, and that's what you do. You take care of all of this for them. You'll take care of the planning and get people on the right track.
That's right. And, you know, when we buy the best policies we can possibly buy for them, where that we know that they're going to make a profit. That's the whole thing. It's making them a profit again and again. And that's the way we do it, like we do. And we just pay so much attention to this, you know?
a life settlement is not designed for everybody. This is for a specific type of investor. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't other options, but to be involved in a life settlement, you must be accredited. And what does that mean?
Well, that means you've either got to be worth $1 million, and that's without your home, or you have to make $200,000 a year. You must be accredited to be in our program. And sometimes we forget to tell people that, but you do need to be accredited, and you need to add up everything and say, am I accredited? Or if you make more than $200,000, right now almost everybody does, then it doesn't make any difference, mm-hmm. Okay? So if you are making over $200,000, don't even worry about adding anything up, you know?
So for those that aren't accredited, they're doing some quick math in their head. They're going, no, I only make $50,000 or whatever it is a year. I'm not accredited for this, so I'm out. No point in saving for retirement. I'm not going to worry about it. I'll just work until I fall over. No, that is bad because there are a number of other options to get ready for retirement.
That's right. And there's other ways to do it. You can do an annuity. You know, we've got two or three annuity companies that pay really well. They're paying bonuses from 5 to 10% up front, and that adds to your profit going in. And so if you can get a 5% bonus or a 10% bonus going in, I think it's a great thing. And it will just help you. And if you're going to do a 10-year annuity and you don't need it for 5 or 10 years, you know, then you can start drawing on it. You can draw the rest of your life. It works out very great.
So for somebody who's waited, they've gone through life and they haven't really put a whole lot of thought into investing. They haven't really put a whole lot of thought into growing. Maybe they have a little bit in the bank, but, you know, not enough to really actually seriously talk about retirement. What would be an age that would you say on average is, you know, is almost too late? When do people hit that line where, well, there's not much you can do now?
Well, if they've already quit working, you know, they're not going to have enough money to do anything. If they've quit working and they had, let's say, $150,000, mm-hmm. that's not going to help them any.
But obviously, to start investing.
If you've retired and you've got $150,000, it's too late.
The earlier you start, the better, obviously, because you have more time and you can make more money. But what would be the, like, a tipping point? Somebody in their 40s is okay to get started. Somebody in their 50s, would they, is that too late or is that okay?
No, you've got plenty of time. 40s and 50s is the time when you ought to be thinking about retirement and what you will do 10 years from now or 15 years from now, or if you want to retire early. What if you want to retire? I've had several people retire at 59.
Mm-hmm. Because I talked to a lot of
really,
people.
That is really, really early.
It really is early. In fact, for some people, it might be too early. They might get bored real quick and want to go do something else. Once they've done all the traveling and all the whatever else they want to do, it's like, well, now what?
I've had people that retired, and then they've told me, I'm bored after about a year. They want to go do something. And I say, well, go do something that is fun, something you've never done, and something that you would enjoy doing. And that's what they tell me they're going to look for and try to do.
But, boy, isn't it nice to be able to have the money there to have the option? At that point, you can literally do anything you want to. You can retire. You can stay retired. You can travel. When you're done with that, you can take a four-year nap. If you want to go back to work just for something to do, you can do that. But you got to have the money. And the point is that you've got to get started. And you make this super easy. And I assume you have some availability for to meet with some people this coming week, right?
That's right. And, we've got availability. We will see them. Talk to them. If they like us, we'd love to have them do it. If they want to cut down on their risk, I think it'd be a good thing to do.
Okay. So for people to make an appointment, come call and come see you one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.